The Bush administration is moving toward a new national security policy. It relies more heavily on preemptive strikes against terrorists or states attempting to develop weapons of mass destruction. The doctrine, which will be released this fall, moves away from the Cold War staples of deterrence and containment and is expected to emphasize a wide range of first strike possibilities. As NPR's Eric Westervelt reports, the policy shift has big implications for both Pentagon planners and U.S. forces on the ground.
The option of preemption has always existed for presidents, but the Bush administration is expected to make it a more prominent part of national security strategy than any recent administration. U.S. officials insist that not all first strike plans will include armed intervention. National Security Advisor Condoleezza Rice, for example, points to the Kennedy administration's military blockade of Cuba during the missile crisis. Conrad Crane is chair of research at the U.S. Army War College. He says the White House is moving towards a broader understanding of preemption.
They seem to be emphasizing that it doesn't necessarily mean we're going to go in and bomb someone back to the Stone Age as part of preemption. There's a range of other options that might be tried as well. I mean, there was an interview with Condoleezza Rice where she described the Cuban Missile Crisis of 1962 as an example of preemption without a military strike, which is a very different type of definition.
Despite a new definition, many believe the public discussion of a first strike doctrine is part of a strategy to prepare the public for a military attack on Iraq. And analysts agree that any first strike option would rise or fall on the effectiveness of America's battered intelligence community. Michelle Flournoy served as Deputy Assistant Secretary of Defense for Strategy in the Clinton Pentagon. She says any holes in the intelligence net pose serious problems for preemptive attacks.
Having the kind of precise, actionable, time-sensitive intelligence that preemption requires. We need to know exactly where things are, what kind of facilities, the vulnerabilities of those facilities, and so forth. Again, that may be very difficult, particularly in a situation where we're dealing with a society where we have limited intelligence or access, and it's even more difficult when you're dealing with a shadowy underground terrorist organization.
Take the case in 1988 when British agents carried out a preemptive assassination of three members of an Irish Republican Army bomb squad in Gibraltar. Critics say the three could have easily been arrested and pumped for information instead of assassinated. The British government later admitted that faulty intelligence led them to believe the bombing was going to take place that day and prompted the shoot-to-kill order. The killings only bolstered IRA resolve, giving Irish nationalists new martyrs and publicity. It also sparked a series of successful retaliatory killings of British citizens. Military strategist Crane says any U.S. first strike better be precise and devastating. The consequences of failure, he says, are huge.
Well, if you don't get them, then you've got to escalate, and your credibility gets on the line. It becomes a lot like Kosovo. As the bombing continues and things don't seem to be working as well, well, all of a sudden you've got to crank up your options. Once you commit force, you've got to make sure you're effective so that the people aren't going to be as tempted to test you in the future. A superpower can't afford to fail.
Failing to hit a target thoroughly enough, for example, or hitting the wrong bunker could give desperate adversaries a chance to strike back. The Nixon administration's secret bombing of Cambodia in 1969 is one American example of failed preemptive strikes. The U.S. was not at war with the neutral country, and bombing of suspected communist outposts proved militarily and politically disastrous. A new policy that includes preemption would likely put even greater reliance on U.S. special forces and the Pentagon's stealth capabilities. Military analyst Marcus Corbin is with the Strategic Studies Institute. He doubts that special forces now have all they need to transport troops to a secret long-range attack.
Stealthy aircraft so far, as far as we know, have been limited to fighter aircraft and bomber aircraft. I haven't heard of plans for a stealthy transport aircraft in the works.
Perhaps the best recent example of a successful preemptive attack was Israel's 1981 airstrikes on an Iraqi nuclear power plant. The raid was widely criticized by the international community at the time. However, many now recognize that the move probably set back Saddam Hussein's nuclear program for 5 years or more. But former Pentagon strategist Flournoy says the Israeli preemptive attack holds its own lessons for today's planners.
But even there, over time, Iraq was able to come back to launch a renewed nuclear weapons program and to do so with dispersed, hardened, hidden facilities that are much more difficult now to target and destroy.
So preemption, even in the best cases, she says, is often only a short-term fix. Eric Westervelt, NPR News, Washington.